All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'm really happy there's a big crowd, but if some people come in a bit late, help them get their spots. I do hope your tech ready has been tech head has been going really well. We're in the second half. I sure hope you still have the energy. Today we're going to be talking about extending Microsoft Azure capability through Citrix and Desktop ZenApp and NetScaler, which starts with the first marketing slide. I have three marketing slides in this whole thing. And that's kind of how they changed it for me. Initially, it was deploying ZenApp and Zen Desktop in Azure. Simple. But they had a point. I'm talking about other few things. So that's fair. I'm Lou Eshbalat. I'm a solutions architect at Citrix for the past 2 years. Before that, I was at Microsoft for about 13 years. On this project, we contracted Paul and his company to help us doing the scale analysis and costing and modeling. That, Paul.
Hi, my name is Paul Wilson. I was a former Citrix employee for about 11 years. And when I left, I was working on the Zen Desktop scalability projects. I pretty much pioneered the process of testing Zen Desktop on the different hardware platforms. And so I was happy when Loy invited me to come assist with work on Azure. Thanks, Loy.
Thank you. So before I kick it off, a quick show of hands. Who in here uses Citrix ZenApp / Zen Desktop or Citrix in general? OK, cool. For the most part, prior customers. Who's still on ZenApp or before ZenApp 6.5? Don't be shy. I know there's quite a few. OK. ZenApp 6.5 or that kind of era? OK, quite a bit, I'd say 30, 40. ZenApp, Zen Desktop 7 onwards, 7.7.1, 7.5, 7.6. Okay, not bad. I mean, for the majority, I see 6.5 is the bulk. I ask this question because I'm going to be focusing today on ZenApp 7.5/6.5. It's applicable. But all what we talk about does apply to 6.5 for the most part. I mean, there's a few things that change. And we do have a reference architecture that was published. You can refer to it. But this session, 7.5. One other thing I want to remind you of, probably you might have seen like a little promo that if you come to the session, you'll get a ticket where you can pick up a cool prize. That's going to be at the door at the very end. We have our lovely lady, Yash. She's going to be standing there. She's going to give those vouchers where you can pick up the prize from our Citrix booth. All right, with that going, does it work? I'm going to start with that flat out question. When we do architectures, there's always gotchas, maybe, constraints, and they always exist in architectures. But the bottom line is, does it really work, and does it work well, and does it perform? And that's where I'm going to kick it off. So basically, I'm going to start this whole thing with a demo. And please pray for me. Oops, I have all this open, which is... I'm going to close that. So while I'm closing all this, I'm going to start by... The awesome me, when I was building it, I really didn't think hard. I was optimizing this platform, and I built it off US West region. So this is on Azure US West. Came here. Should I rebuild it in Europe North or something? I was like, no, you know, I'll go tour Barcelona. That might be a better thing for my time, but it's still awesome. I mean, it would have been better if it was here, but you'll see. So I know a lot of you, and I see some, actually, that do have, like, Surface Pro 3s, MacBooks, and I know they're super fast. So I really wanted you to keep in mind how fast, and can your machines beat this? This is a session in Azure in US West, all right? So what I'm going to be doing here, I'm going to be opening Word, Excel, Notepad, Skype, SketchUp, and that's really streaming from the US West. So, I mean, I'm going to move it a little bit, but, you know. So, really, One thing I want to keep in mind, or what I want to really emphasize, at the end of this session, I really want you to be capable of building this. I'm going to go through all the material of how you architect it, how you build it, and how much does it cost. One thing about this, this environment is available, we've built it, and if you're really interested in getting an account on that, I'm happy to help you with that in our Citrix booth, not to ask the expert, down in Citrix booth. You come in and sign me up, and I'm happy to sign you up. If you want to show it to your leadership, if that's something you're considering, or to your team to go build it out, I'm happy to give you an account where you can log off. You log on in here. All right, let me flip back to my... So we're done with Does It Work? It works, and it's really fast, and that's true. No smoke and mirrors there. Key takeaway, it works today. It's fully functional and it's good. Objectives, I mentioned them. How do I build it? What's the architectural things I need to take into consideration? I'm going to go through a mini deployment guide. It's not going to be extensive, but really if you take that deck, you'll kind of be able to follow through if you want to do it and try it out. And of course, we're going to discuss scale and economics, how much it's going to cost, how much compute I'm going to be using. And in here, I'm not talking about licensing at all. I'm talking, okay, should I build this on-premise and build that hardware and how much does it cost me? You know that part, or you can analyze it. How much is it going to cost from an Azure consumption? And when I say that, networking, IOPS, storage, VMs, everything. All right, my second marketing slide. But it has a point too. So what I'm trying to show in here is that we do have a continuum of products that you built on-premise, IaaS in Azure or in the cloud, hosted. We do have a hoster program. I do have a link at the end for those hosters where there's a CSP, Citrix Service Providers. And CWS is Citrix Workspace Services. That's something we announced earlier this year. That's something not there today. It's in the works. And this is our services offering. So think of Zen Desktop as a services per user and a bit, and beyond that. But that's kind of the vision. So we have a continuum of products. On the Zen Desktop, Zen App on-premise, I want to emphasize one thing. It's not only getting our bits and installing them. We're going beyond that. We're going and thinking private cloud. By that, we do have what we call VMM service templates. If any of you worked with service templates, we've built a Citrix service template where you can click, put in certain variables, and it's going to build the whole Citrix environment, deploy the bits, configure the bits to your inputs. Single click, literally, with you inputting that. We also have, if you guys decide to have your own private cloud Azure pack, we also have a gallery images. So you can download those gallery images. Once you click on the gallery, you can say, okay, I want the Zen Desktop controller, web front, storefront, so forth. And it's going to build and configure that as well. And we're doing a lot with desired state configuration and so forth. So when I say on-premise private cloud, we really mean it. It's not like just, okay, go get it and do it. No. Today, we're going to be focusing on this, really. How do you uplift your current environment, extend it to Azure, and the whole thing. How do you do it? How much does it cost and so forth? All right. With this, we're going to start with certain terminologies and definition. Stay with me. This is not, you know, fluff slide. I'm going to use those terms a lot. So maybe you know them, maybe not. But I'm going to be quick. So let's start with the Azure basic building blocks. Affinity group. An Azure affinity group is pretty much Microsoft telling you that things are going to be close to each other. So a Microsoft region is actually multiple data centers. And you want your things to be close to each other, not in different data centers. The way you contain that is with an affinity group. They can be in a single data center, and if they can, they'll put it in the same cluster. Cloud service, a container of VMs. So that's where you open ports to connect through, where you can set ACLs. You can have multiple VMs in a cloud service. Virtual machine, the same concept from on-premise carriers. Availability set. That's kind of where Microsoft is telling you, okay, if you've got multiple VMs in a single availability set, we try or we promise you that not all of them are going to be down at the same time. We're going to try to put them in different tracks. If we're upgrading one, we'll make sure the other one is up. Virtual network, that's where you define your network space, your subnets, and your DNS, as well as VPN and so forth. Storage account, that's where you store stuff. And basically, for the purpose of this demo, it's mostly that's where you store your blobs, VHDs for the servers, and some sharefile data we're going to get to. Okay, let's go through hierarchy. VMs are part of cloud service. They can be a member of an availability set on a single subnet or more. Subnets are part of virtual networks, which are parts of an affinity group. That's kind of the hierarchy of things. Again, keep those terms in mind. I'm going to use them later on. Let's go to the Citrix components. Delivery controller. That's what distributes your connection. You put in your username and password on the portal, gets there. Okay, he's going to go to this session or to that VM, and I'm going to apply those policies. XenApp session, that's pretty much where you're executing your application. The applications are really installed on the XenApp servers. Web interface or storefront, that's your web portal. That's where you log on, put in username and password. Secure gateway NetScaler. Our protocol is called ICA, and basically that's what connects inbound traffic from the internet to the local internet, to the local network. So think firewalling. It does a bit more, but think that way. Licensing, that's kind of where we make the money, track usage. One thing I want to highlight in here, there's web interface and secure gateway. Those all are older generation products. The newer one are storefront and NetScaler. For the purposes of this discussion, most of my discussion is going to be web interface, secure gateway, for a simple reason. We're working on NetScaler support in Azure, and we do have prototypes, so it's not far off. It's really close. I don't have dates, but we're not talking a year. We're talking soon, let's put it that way. Lovely chart. I'm not going to go through it, but the user comes from the secure gateway and gets to his session or VDI desktop. That's a traditional kind of architecture. All right, let's kind of dig deep on how we build an architecture. One thing I would like to highlight, this is not hypothetical. What I'm going to show today is something that has been tested by real customers. As a matter of fact, one customer was referenced in the keynote, Towers Watson. I'm not sure if everyone was there, but if you were not there, Towers Watson is a global professional services firm. They specialize in making software and insights available to insurance companies. They're particularly around the modeling risk and making sure you're compliant with financial regulations. So their next version of one of their applications, not everything, they're kind of going slowly in there, which is Risk Agility Financial Modeler, is built on top of Visual Studio, isolated shell, and distributes calculations using the Azure backend batching. So we're working with them, actually, towards a pilot customer entry point that's really based on this architecture. So the customers are going to enter through kind of a Citrix session and so forth. So again, real, not hypothetical. I'm going to go through basic architectures at the beginning just to get you an idea where I'm going, then I'm going to start drilling into a real complex, highly available, scalable architecture. All right, so this is a simple deployment. What you see in here, single affinity group, single network, single subnet, single cloud service, simple. And you're putting in there our components, VMs. But, you know, if you want to make it simpler, secure gateway and web interface can be on a single VM. Delivery control licensing server, and SQL server can be on a single VM. From there, we mentioned you do that on a cloud service. You open port 443 where your users can connect through. And of course, when you do that, make sure you open port 443 on the secure gateway VM. That's on a high level. Another high level one, simple hybrid solution. It's pretty much the same thing, but you create a site-to-site VPN tunnel. Again, an Azure terminology to your data center. That way your users can get access to your applications data and so forth. All right, let's build on that. Really self-explanatory or maybe not. But we're going to build to that. We're going to go step by step on how you really build such an environment and all the methodologies / tricks you need to understand to build that. Okay. To really know how to go from point zero to that point, we need to understand scale. That's the first thing on your architecture. With that, I'm going to hand it off to Paul.
Thank you.
To talk a little bit about scale and how we come to our data points.
Thank you, Loy. Okay, Sid, I'm pretty excited to be here. I always enjoy this sort of stuff. I like to present and I like to talk about scalability. And so this fits right into my ballpark. I like to travel too, that helps. Anyway, when we went to go do this, we need to figure out exactly how many users fit on a box. That's the question about scalability. We've had that problem since our original version of MetaFrame. How many users can I get on a box? It's no different now. And so what we did was we went out and we got login VSI's 4.0 login consultants, login VSI tester. I know they have another version now they just released, but this is the one we used. And it has a slightly more resource-intensive workload than the earlier releases, like 3.0 and whatnot. And it makes it more realistic, I guess. And so if you look at the numbers, you might see that they're a little bit lower, but that's because we're using a more resource-intensive test case, right? And we tested primarily the light and medium user workloads. The light workload represents, in the Zen app world, like a task worker, somebody who's getting on the internet and browsing or might be doing mail or just using a same app all the time. The medium workload represents a task worker, somebody who's got multiple applications open at once, doing email, running videos, Flash, and that sort of stuff. It puts a lot more load on the system. And we did the tests for instance types A0 through A7. And we're in the process of testing the remaining ones, the ones that we haven't got, and the new ones that they announced in the keynote this week. So just to give you an idea, this is kind of what the instance types looks like. We've got medium, large, et cetera. But I want to call your attention to this. Like the A2 through A4, 2, 4, and 8 are the cores. And same with 5, 6, and 7, but the difference is the memory. And this makes a difference because when we got to our results, you'll see that A2 kind of performs similarly to an A5. And that kind of tells you that we're more CPU bound there because we have lots of extra RAM, but we didn't get any more users on it, right? And same with A3 and A6. Now, the big difference here is A4 and A7. You'll notice we actually got considerably more users in both places. And that tells you that those instances were more memory bound, right? So when we freed up the memory, we got some more users on there. An important thing you need to remember, though, login VSI is kind of like a benchmark or something, right? And this is, you can't expect to always get 27 light users or 18 medium users in your environment on a single VM that's an A3. You need to go test that. But this gives you an idea of how these different instance types perform in relation to one another, and you can change other variables like memory or CPU cores. And the important thing here also going forward is that we are going to focus primarily on this one right here, the A3 large. It turns out that that's our best cost entry point per user, per hour. So in our architecture, we went ahead and used that kind of as our baseline for a lot of our computations. And we have a white paper out there that discusses all of the results of these tests and where we came up with kind of the numbers that we're talking about today. And if I get a chance later, I'll bring that up. But Loy and I were talking a little earlier today, and he said he had a great story about a customer who was working on selecting the right instance type, so I'd let him go ahead and tell that. Thanks.
Thank you. Talking about that customer, actually it was a joint customer with Microsoft. Can't preference the name. But when they started working, we were working with them about 8 months ago, and they were doing architecture and scale at the same time, and they were simply using the A7 instance type. You know, always get the biggest one, let's get that working, and we'll kind of tune it later or analyze it later, which really doesn't happen. After they've gone through 6 months of testing and analysis, they're going to stick with what they're tested. So I came on the project maybe 2 months a bit late, but I told them, you know what, I've been doing this, and I can kind of say that A4 performance is very similar to the A7. Would you try it? They said, no, time, blah, blah. I said, give me half a day. I said, cool. And I did it, and really the results came exactly the same for them. The memory didn't matter. So, moral of the story, don't go and get the A7 and say, I'm going to do it later. Try kind of to analyze and find the right one for your workload, for your application, which could be A7. I mean, your application might need a lot of memory. I don't know. But do it at the beginning. Don't say, maybe I'll do it later, because later usually never happens. All right. So that number, A318, keep it in mind. I'm going to build on it. So in A3 instance type, we got 18 medium workload users. And one thing I'm going to highlight that Paul said, this is not the magic number, but this is a good baseline slash reference. All right. To really understand how I built that lovely, great picture with a lot of containers and so forth, we need to understand scale. And on this aspect, I'm, of course, on two things, IOPS and sessions. And overlay that with some of the Azure limitations and constraints, which there's a lovely link where they highlight everything, how many VMs you can create in cloud service and so forth. I'll quote some of that later, the ones relevant to this architecture. And then we need to understand high availability. So we need to see which components are by design highly available and distributed in the Citrix components and which ones we're really going to rely on Azure to provide that. All right, 2 points there. So for session host, Zenab, we said A3, 18 users. That paper really goes in depth about how much IOPS, how much network bandwidth, the whole thing. And it explains how we came with that. 18. IOPS per A3 instance, also in that white paper. It was about less than 300 IOPS on that server was able to sustain all 18 users. For server VDI, Zen Desktop, if you want to do really VDI, we found that A1/A2 is a good model of what's kind of a desktop these days, and it really performs well. For IOPS, it's really, really safe to say less than 300 IOPS per use per desktop. And just to give you like kind of reference frame, if we look at like 10K SAS drives, short of SSDs, 10K SAS drives gives you about 200 IOPS. So 300 IOPS is good. Short of you want SSD, which Azure provides as well at this point of time. Azure limitations and constraints. The few ones I want to highlight are you can have 50 VMs in a single cloud service. And probably most of you would know that 50, when you're in a Zen app or Zen desktop world, 50 is not a lot. You can do 200 easily. So, architect for that. Maximum IOPS for disk is 500 if you pick a standard instance. There's multiple instance types, A1 through A2, A3, A4, A10, A8, A9, but there's also standard and basic. There's multiple differences. The one I care about is the basic gives you 300 IOPS on the disk. Maximum IOPS per storage account, key 20,000 IOPS. Meaning, if I have 100 VMs that I tie to the same storage account, I'm not going to get 100 VMs times 500 IOPS, which is 50,000. No. You will be capped to 20,000 IOPS, and those 100 VMs are going to share that. Again, keep that in mind. So let's do the design by math. I'm going to start with my infrastructure pieces. By that, I mean controller, storefront, or web interface, SQL, Active Directory, that side. There's about 10, 15 VMs for those. And those will fit in a single cloud service. And from our testing as well, a single storage account, 20,000 IOPS, is more than sufficient for those 15 VMs. We've done quite a bit of extensive loading on that, and we didn't come close. So we're good. Now let's go to the Zenab worker servers. Those ones consume a bit more. So we said each one consumed 300 IOPS. If I pick up a standard instance type, it's going to give me 500 IOPS, so that's plenty. for my 18 users, which could be different for you, but for an 18 users. So in that sense, I need a single cloud service. Oh, so let me go to a step before. So how many VMs could I put on a single storage account? And that's where the math is. So 20,000 IOPS divided by 500. You could divide by 300, but that was kind of safe. I said, you know what? I want that VM to use the 500 IOPS that Azure gives it. So that gives me a maximum of 40 VMs. So I'm saying here, the maximum of XenApp servers you can put in a on a single storage account is 40 VMs. And again, that's something you can play around and you can go more aggressive. This is a good safe bet. So a single service, cloud service, can take 40 VMs and you can tie it to a single storage account. Server VDI. We said it consumes less than 300. And for that matter, I'm going to say it consumed 200 as if I have a 10K SAS drive. So how many machines can I attach to this single storage account? 20,000 divided by 200 gives me 100 VMs. If you want to be cautious or, you know, you can decide to flip those numbers. But again, it's a thought process that I'm going through here. So in this case, for 100 VMs, I can tie it to a single storage account, but I need to split them across two cloud services. They cannot be in a single cloud service because a single cloud service can do 50 VMs. All right. I'm going to go through an example customer. I do have a customer whose name is citrixonazure.com, and that's really the account we've used. We have that domain. We have the certificates. We did through that. And that customer has 1,000 users. Half of them are in the West Coast, half of them in the East Coast. And they have 800 users that are, I'll call them knowledge workers, so they kind of equate to a medium workload in the login VSI test. And there's 200 that are power users. They need to install their applications and so forth. So in this case, the decision is we're going to use 800 users sessions. 200 users, we're going to do VDI. All right? So that's kind of our setup. Let's kind of go through and build on those concepts. Oops. Carrying over the math. Infrastructure, we needed a single cloud service, a single storage account. XenApp, we could put 40 VMs in a single cloud service on a storage account. VDI, we can do 100 VMs on two cloud services. So if I'm going to calculate by the region, and by the region, we have 400 sessions and 100 VDIs. I know not everyone is up to math this late in the day, so I'm really not going to go through that. But in simple terms, 400 sessions divided by 18 sessions per A3 instances, that's about 23 VMs, and, you know, you get those numbers. The one thing I'll add in here, we talked about scale. So what we need is we need two secure gateways, and we need to load balance across those. So our Zen Desktop DD servers, they're distributed. Just put multiple of them, and we're cool. But secure gateways, you need to kind of have a load balancer in front of them. So in this case, we've used the Azure Load Balancer. And I put all this in the Affinity Group. So again, more math. If I multiply by two, those are the things I need. Again, you can play with that or look deeper at that later on. You can see also I added Traffic Manager. That's also an Azure component. You set up Traffic Manager as performance, and what it does, it gets you to the closest region you're in. They do some calculation based on round trips, and then they do a DNS assignment, and you're going to be stuck to one of those. All right. So let's quickly kind of build that. Single affinity group in my East Coast. I'm going to create a single virtual network with a single subnet. We like it that way. Cloud service for the infrastructure component, I'm going to have a separate storage account for them. I really want them not to be hit by others, but by other performance issues. Then you've got two cloud services that are assigned to a single VDI storage account. Those are the 50 and the 50 VDI machines. And then a single cloud service with XenApp storage account. Then you start building your components, more components, And you can see the dotted things around the SQL delivery group, web interface, secure gateway. That's when you set things to availability sets. That's where I said Microsoft's going to ensure that if they're upgrading a rack or something, they'll make sure the other one is up. Keep that in mind. Then you've got your VDI hosts, 50 and 50, and then Zenapp session hosts. One main thing I want to highlight in here, I've been saying VDI, 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 VDI. In this case, we're talking about server VDI. I'm not installing Windows 8, licensing and so forth. So what you do is you have server VDI in there. Okay, you have a load balancer, port 443 goes to both. Replicate this whole thing to the West Coast, traffic manager in front of it, create a CNAME reference for your company. Where's the company name? Citrix on Azure.com to the DNS name of trafficmanager.net. And that's also a Microsoft naming convention. All right. One big hypothetical question, and very important question, actually, that we're not going to tackle deeply, but I'm going to touch upon. What about my data? I mean, you moved your apps over there to the cloud. And your data is still on-premise, so I mean, yes, you're going to be incurring all these round trips back and forth. So that's something you're going to keep in mind. So multiple things to keep in mind in here. First, cost. So if you're moving back and forth traffic, data, a lot of data, that's going to be a lot of payment to any cloud service, including Microsoft. And using bandwidth as well. User experience. I'm going to focus in here about latency. So, as I mentioned, my environment is in the US West. I mean, the latency is pretty good, but there's still latency, and I could notice it when I was in my office versus I'm here. And of course comes privacy. So keep all these three in mind when you're doing that. So for latency, you can always pick up a region next to you if you decide not to move your data, or you can use Express Route from Microsoft that kind of ties your on-premise with a straight connection to Azure. Multiple services in Europe and other regions provide that. If you can move your data, move your data. One example I'm going to go through here, which is ShareFile. I'm not sure how many of you are aware of ShareFile. ShareFile is a Citrix offering that's for file sharing. Simple. Syncing and sharing. So basically, in this case, ShareFile has a unique feature called storage zones, where you can tell it where you want to save your data. So it can be kind of saved in Citrix data centers, or it can be saved on-premise. You create a storage zone. We still handle all the portal and the metadata and so forth, but the data is owned by you. Could be in other clouds, and it could be in Azure. So that's one example I'm going to show where, okay, I'm cool with it. I'm going to put my data in Azure, although I'm hitting the Citrix servers. So the cool thing is that you can transfer file quicker. And one thing we're going to do is I'm going to do a quick demo in here. Just break a little bit, do a quick demo. I'm going to log into my session in there. I'm going to download a 700 meg file. Paul is going to log on from his desktop to surefile.com and download that same file, 700 megs. And, you know, we're going to compare my session, and he's a standard user downloading it from here. So let's flip over to Paul's, you're number 7, right?
Five,
sorry. Are you sure?
No.
Okay, we'll see. You're not sure. You're number 7.
I am number 7. See?
All right.
I wasn't sure.
You have ShareFile open?
Yes, I do. It's right here.
So one thing I want to highlight in here, you can also see we really got all those domains. So we have Citrix on Azure.fileshare.com. So FileShare allows you to create your own domain and sub it off FileShare.com. So Citrix on Azure.fileshare.com.
All right, so here we go.
So he's going to download that lovely file already.
There it goes.
Okay. I'm going to flip to my machine. It's going. This is going, okay? Oops, I'm going to flip to my machine. All right. So that's my session, but I'm really cool. I'm going to open. Oh, no problem. I do have time. That's the good news.
3 minutes.
It's okay. Okay. Let's try that again. Okay. So I give him enough headway, I guess. And that's the same portal, same thing. And I'm going to download here. I don't know if you can see this or not down there. One thing I can do is probably, what's that magical, oops. Oh, here you go. You can see that. I have 5 seconds left. And it's the same website, except that my storage zone is in Azure, and I put it in the same affinity group as my users.
Oh, you're done.
If we go back to Mr. Paul, 7, I don't know if you're done yet.
No, I still have more time.
9 minutes to go?
Yeah, it got worse. 8 minutes?
Okay. So again, I'm talking about data, and that's something you think. I just gave an example from our product set that has the flexibility to put things where you want. Again, depends on privacy, because that's a big deal. All right, going back to our demo. Did that lovely demo. How do I do this? I promised you they're going to get out of here knowing how really to do it. This section, I'm going to kind of go quickly through. But you can always download the session and kind of follow it. So first off, you got to prep your Azure infrastructure. By that, I mean create an affinity group. Really do that. A lot of people start creating VMs and they don't do an affinity group. It's awesome if you're just playing around, but if you want to do something, get your things close to each other. Create your cloud services as you need them. We needed 4. In this case, I have 4, but they're named wacko. They should have better naming. But anyhow, then we continue with creating storage account. I said we needed 3 storage accounts, 1 for the infrastructure, 1 for the VDI, and 1 for the XenApp. Create my network. So in this case, I'm using the 1010. I create my subnet 1. I set up my DNS server. And then I go along and create my VMs, just like I show. And as you can see, I have multiple of each VM so that I put them in an availability set, meaning if one fails, Microsoft is going to try to promise me the other is not going to fail at the same time. I do suggest that you create them with static IPs. It's not a must, but for the secure gateways, it's important, actually. And at this point of time, you cannot create VMs with static IPs in Azure short of using the PowerShell. Some Microsoft people might tell me I'm wrong. I'm happy if I'm wrong, but I'm not. I don't know. The way I knew, you got to do it through PowerShell. I provided this script where you can do that. You can. This gives you the opportunity to join an affinity group, cloud service specific, pass all the details as well as the... I'm not going to go through all that, actually. It's going to take a long time. The software pieces that I've installed and worked for me, McCann. I know every single one is going to go do it maybe in the next month, I hope. So that's there. Then I go through prep your company domain name. By that, I mean get a cert from your best provider that you like, Citrix on Azure. Create your CNAMEs. By CNAMEs, I mean the mapping. So basically, Microsoft uses cloudapp.net, if you've noticed, or trafficmanager.net. But if you've got like Citrix on Azure.net, you need to map that because your users are not going to go to cloudapp.net. Configure secure gateway. I'm talking about this cert in here. Again, I'm not going to drill through that. Then create a 443 endpoint and load balance across that 2 servers. So you can see in here, one thing you notice, 443 and there's a load balance set. I'm just showing that to keep that in mind when you create it. And it's load balanced across CTX, SG1 and SG2. All right, NetScaler, my third and last marketing slide. So I said that's coming sometime soon. we did have this session. It wasn't a full session. We co-presented in a session talking about that. Can't give dates, but once Netscaler in there is fun because it can do multiple things other than the secure gateway role, which we call access gateway. It can do load balancing, can do mobile stream, and a few other things. So once it's there, keep an eye on it, try to take advantage of that. So kind of if I look at this topology, if I click next, you can see that the Netscaler can do the load balancing and the role of the secure gateway back and forth. So you can kind of do multiple components. And as a matter of fact, it can do the traffic manager role if decided. So you see what works for you. I mean, load balancer and traffic manager might be plenty for you, but they might not. Netscaler has a lot of rich feature set. All right, continuing with the configuration. I know everyone's bored. I'm going to go faster on this one. Nothing more. Okay. That one I'm going to stop at a little bit. So how do I create my worker server and Zen desktop? It's just similar to the concept of on-premise. You install your image, you install your application, you install our VDA, virtual delivery agent, you sysprep the VM. The one minor thing you care about in Azure is there's a capture feature down there. At this point of time, Zen Desktop, Zen App cannot provision straight to Azure. That's something we're working on. But that's where you need to do capture and check the sysprep option. What happens with that is when you open your gallery of images, you'll see your own image part of that gallery where you can kind of say, okay, I want 10 of that. For server VDI, it's pretty much the same, but there's kind of a little difference. I put it in there for the leisure. How do I provision now? Okay, I created the golden image. I created the golden image. What can I do with them? Well, you can go and right-click, create new, right-click, create new, right-click, create new, and get 100 Zenapp servers using the UI, or you can do that through PowerShell. I do have that embedded as well. I'll go through that. After you've got your 100 Zenapp servers created, what you do is go to the studio, Citrix Studio, and import those to the machine catalog. So I mentioned a script in here. I'm going to show the XML file because the script is longer. So in the XML file, the user needs to input those basic details. And then for the VM configuration, you give me the base name, what's your golden image that you created in the gallery, your time zone, admin username, passwords, and so forth, domain to join, and so forth. And voila. And probably there's a number. You can tell me I want 100 of that server. And what's going to happen, the script is going to go and create 100 Zenapp servers based on that golden image. Share file, the storage zones I talked about. Again, I do have some pointers in here. You probably need to get the deployment guides to do it. But those are some of the prerequisites if you want to play with share file and try it out. Those are the basic steps that you need to do. But again, I wouldn't say those are sufficient. Probably you need to kind of download it and do it. One thing I highlight in here, which is important, in your admin console, you can say, where's your storage zone? Which means you can say, you know what? Put most of the stuff in Azure storage, but for certain types of user/files, you can change that, and you can say on-premise. And for certain times, you can put it in the Citrix data centers. So, all right. So at this point of time, I've given you architecture. I've given you how to. We talked about scale. Let's talk about economics. So I'm going to switch it over to Paul to take it from here.
Thank you. So he showed you how you can set up this environment in very little bit of time. But the question is, does it make sense for you to move any of your information into the Azure cloud? And it is a little bit easier. You don't have to worry about air conditioning or anything like that in your data center. So you get some savings. But we need to figure out exactly what we should do. So we put together a spreadsheet that figures out a lot of this stuff. We take into account the compute time, the network traffic, the storage requirements, the IOPS, and all of that, and we kind of build a little model so you can get an idea of what it might cost you to put your environment into the cloud or even part of it if you want to do like a hybrid. And so I'm going to start off here by just talking about the costs here. This is from the US West this last week. We grabbed the price per hour, put it in there for you. These are the instance types we talked about earlier. And you see as we get more memory, they charge more for that information or for that storage and compute. So it breaks down to this, though. Once you take the users and you divide into the cost per hour, what you figure out is how much it costs you for each user per machine per hour. And what we found out interesting was that this A2 through A4 was all about the same price. It gives you a little bit of granularity. Like if I want to put 20 users on, I could do that. And if I want to only add like another 4 users, I might put this type of thing up. So you can do that to help control costs. In fact, I'll talk about in a second, we have written a PowerShell script for kind of like power capacity management with the help of Microsoft. And this script, what it does is it kind of helps you turn machines on and turn them off based on like user usage and availability. Anyway, you'll notice that it does cost a little bit more per hour as we go up to the larger instance types. And once again, this price per hour is reflecting about an 8-hour workday, not a 24-hour workday. Oops, too far. Yeah, I'm clicking. There we go. All right. So this is kind of a breakdown per month for each user. So if we look at that price, this comes out of the white paper that I referenced earlier. We stepped through all that sort of information. Everything we found during the scalability testing, we put in this white paper. But you'll see that we have a medium user here, about $11.55 per month to put them into the cloud. And this is accounting, once again, for the compute, which works out to about $4.96 or so. The network utilization is basically assuming about 300 kbps during working hours. So we figured that out. And the 22 cents is the IOPS that are actually being used by that user. And we use the base numbers that we got from the login VSI testing. And then finally, we have the kind of like the user profile storage, the cost for them to just store data. In this case, it was about 25 gig, we kind of assumed for a regular user profile. The light users are very similar. They're using it less. They're not generating as many IOPS. They're not using as many compute cycles per user. So they work out to about $7 a month per user. Now, like I said earlier, we have a spreadsheet. Well, this thing, there it goes. Yeah, I probably should let you click. Anyway, we have this Excel spreadsheet that helps you determine what your costs are going to be. You can put in the information like how much networking do I expect the user to have, how much storage do I expect my user profiles to take up, and what regions do I want to put this in, and how many users do I want. We support 2 different user regions, so you can split across 2 different places. Our assumption there was that you might have a primary data center and a secondary or backup. And also, we support 2 different user profiles, like type of size of profile, size of networking requirements, that sort of stuff. That way, you can have like your power users or your task workers and have an idea of how much this is going to cost instead of having to just put it in for 1 user account. And also, as I mentioned, we have this PowerShell script that allows us to, during peak times, we'll go ahead and we'll keep these idle servers ready for you, and we'll kind of like an idle connection on a Zen App server. We'll have it there available, and as demand grows, we'll go ahead and move it into out of maintenance mode and into the pool, right? And then we'll start another one and take its place. That way, we kind of have this demand and we can support it. And then during off-peak hours, we kind of do the reverse. We kind of remove this idea of a idle server, and we shut those guys down. And then we go look at the servers that have users on them, and we say, hey, is this below our minimum threshold? Should we shut this server down and have those guys log off and log back on? We kind of warn them, hey, we're going to shut your server down. Please log off and log back on. We put it in maintenance mode, and then we shut it down. So that way, we can take advantage of this 8 hours of work time and actually get that cost instead of having to keep all of our servers up for 24 hours. And what I'd like to do now is show you a brief demo of this spreadsheet and talk about our document. So, switch me over to...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I'm 7. I have to remember my number.
So, one thing I wanted to add over there.
Oh, okay.
The Excel sheet and the power capacity management are there. They're fully functional. But, you know, sometimes you need to get legal to sign off on things like that. And on the script, we're looking at support, if we're going to support it, or as is. At this point of time, we're thinking as is, and we're welcome to change it as you wish if it doesn't suit your thing. One additional thing I want to say, the script is based on some work that Microsoft did, and they published it, which is the RDS scale management, similar in Azure. We took it and we make it more customizable to our Zen app and Zen desktop. So if you've seen that one, you'll get an idea about what we were talking.
Thank you.
Back to you. Thank you.
All right. And so, anyway, like I said, we've got two different regions. And so this spreadsheet is set up with three different profile areas. We get a company profile where you can talk about, or you can tell us how many regions you want. You can have one set to none if you're not going to use that region at all. You can also set your work hours per day for the users and how many days a week. So you can get a more accurate feel. So worst case, you could set that to 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and that's your worst case scenario, right? And if you could implement the power and capacity management script, you would be able to hone that down. You can even tell how much it's going to affect you. Also, in the next section, you'll have the number of users of each user profile type that you have. So our type 1 user profile in this case is a light user. We got these values directly from our testing with Login VSI. We went ahead and recorded them during our test, and then we put them in there for your benefit. You'll see our medium one is our task worker down below. And you can tell it how many users of each type you have in each region, if you have a multiple region scenario. Also, you can set the type of storage you would like and the size of storage, and how much processor they're expected to use. So if you know that you're going to get 18 users on a server, you might set it to a certain amount. Like this one happens is 27, so it works out to 0.142 processor. In the bottom of this, you'll see that we have the server profiles, which is the instance types that you expect to use for the infrastructure servers, as well as the Zen app session hosts. You can pick the storage, the size of the default volume. We actually will default that for you based on the values that you provide us up above in the company profile and in the user profile. We'll tell you what we think the best, most economical instance type is for you in that situation. But if you want to change it, or you just want a bigger one or whatever, you can set the instance type yourself and override it. And as you see, we put this in there. We've got about 2,000 users in each of our two data centers. And if we go over here to the tab at the bottom, you'll see that works out to about $13.74 per user per month, or cost per hour, just about under 2 cents an hour.
I would like to also highlight 2 points. The one point is,
on
the $13.74, we're talking purely Azure infrastructure. And that's kind of a mindset where you want to compare that probably to your on-prem hardware cost and ongoing cost, cooling, power, and so forth. Licensing is out of the picture in this, so that's something you need to keep in mind. The other thing is, if we go back to the input tab, so one thing Paul was showing, if we click on light.
Oh, right here.
So in here, by default, we have light and medium characteristic workload. Over there, sorry. But you can do custom, and that's where I've done my profiling, and that's how it's going to look like. You can put how many IOPS your user uses, how many cores, and so forth. So for the purposes of it, so what was the cost? $13. If you flip it to Brazil, maybe? Brazil South region? Okay. We're from about 14 to about 20. So we do all that math for you and so forth.
Yeah, this information, by the way, you kind of we leave down at the bottom of this. We show you how we get all the calculations. So if you want to go look and see, there's nothing really hidden in any of this. But it's there as an estimating tool, right? Like, should I investigate going into the Azure cloud? If you find out you can do users for $3 a month, then maybe it's not a good deal, right? But if you're looking at $30 a month to host your users in your data center, then maybe this might work out for you if it works out to like even 15.
Of course, we also know that maybe Australia, there were two regions that popped up, and we will be adding it to the cost calculator in the next week for those who are you interested.
The last thing I want to highlight here before I turn it back over to Loy is if you go to microsoftacidics.com and you click on Joint Solutions and go to Expand Microsoft Azure Cloud, you will find all of our resources that we have available for you. The spreadsheet will be there. The white paper here is this first link will be there, and you can go through it. And this is, I already clicked on it and downloaded it. But it kind of goes through the different steps that we use to do the calculations that you've seen here today, how we got the cost per user, cost per month, all the assumptions that we have, and that sort of stuff.
I want to show that we also measure all the perfmon, and we kind of derive the data from it, and so forth.
So yeah, here's where we get a lot of those data points that we were talking about in the graphs.
All right.
We're good.
Great, thank you, Paul. I'm going to flip over back. We're about there. I'm making sure I'm keeping it to 1 hour as promised and 15 minutes Q&A. I'm hitting the mark, hopefully, because we're about done. We did that demo, which is pretty much the demo of the Excel calculator. Again, the paper is out there. The Excel calculator, we're still kind of getting kind of legal sign-off. Do we want to kind of, you know, there's some details in there. But it's there. It should be out soon. The scripts, we're still kind of finalizing. They're fully functional. But again, it's about supportability. But as I mentioned, probably they're going to be as is. But you can, that's a good thing because you can modify them as well. So here's some of the related content in there. Both of them occurred. This is how you do RDS in Azure. I don't know who went to that one, but it's an awesome one. This is around networking, and it talks about NetScaler. And a few other things. Please come visit us at the booth. We're at the Ask the Experts Hall this afternoon. Some additional resources. Awesome. And the one main thing, please, please fill the evaluation. Good or bad, we would like it. Is that one or?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't forget to pick up your ticket at the back as you exit. Ticket.
And for those who want to ask questions, they're welcome to stay.
Yeah, stay around.
I'm staying for a little bit.